right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Sussman. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that inspires possibilities in your life. It inspires possibilities in my life, and I hope to each week have somebody that is geared toward that, somebody who lives a life of inspiration. And I, a few months ago, I got an email from a friend of mine about this man that actually hiked in a wheelchair one of the highest peaks in the Sierra Nevada. And I sent the clip to my daughter, who's an avid backpacker. And I showed her the clip, and she was blown away. She said, "Oh, my God, Dad, I can't believe it. It's such a hard trail." And what's amazing is about Bob Coomer is he did this in a wheelchair. And he was in his 20s. He had onset juvenile diabetes, and his whole life changed. But that didn't stop him. He was recognized by the George W. Bush administration with the President's Council on Physical Fitness Community Leadership Award. He's logged probably thousands of miles in his wheelchair, and he's an inspiration. He's a motivational speaker, and he's really is an inspiration to live with disabilities, or not even disabilities, but just reasons not to do what we're set out to do. And I know Bob had a vision, and he's been true to his vision. And Bob, is such an honor, Bob Coomer, to have you as my guest. I'm excited about what we're going to discover.
Cool. Thank you. I love being here. Thank you for having me today.
And I saw the clip, and for those of you listening, there's a film about Bob called Four Wheel Bob by the filmmaker Tal Skloot. I saw a trailer for this, and that's really what kind of motivated me. And it's really worth watching. And then the film's been at various film festivals. And so, Bob, let's go back to when you were diagnosed with onset juvenile diabetes. You were in your 20s, and I know now you're in your 60s. What did you notice then? You were probably by then an avid backpacker, I'm sure, probably when you were a teenager. Is that right?
That's right, and I had been. And when this came on, I got so tired so constantly, and the technology wasn't there as it is now. Like things like insulin pumps and self-testing devices didn't exist back then. So it was very, very difficult for me to manage. And so as a consequence, I lost a lot of weight, did a lot of damage to my body. And once I got around to correcting it, then my legs started to break because osteoporosis is an offshoot of juvenile diabetes in some cases, and it was in mine. So I broke my leg about 8 times just from bearing weight. My doctor and I just decided this is the wheelchair might be a good thing for you. And as I got into that, my imagination kicked in. It's like I can push myself around. I wasn't having any problems with that. How far can I go? And that was the beginning. Long before I was four-wheel Bob, as I'm known now by many hikers, just getting used to pushing myself around and into parks and finding places I could explore still as I used to when I was backpacking.
Wow. Amazing. I mean, a lot of people, as I mentioned, my daughter, who's an avid hiker, she was, and what was the mountain? It was 13,000. Was it the White Mountain is what it was called? White Mountain.
Yeah, White Mountain is right? California's third highest peak, and it's 14,250. And it's just a wonderful place to hang out. It's high desert, just east of the Sierras, east of the town of Bishop. And it's just, it was a peak that looked like something I could do. So I just set out to do it, and on the fourth try, I got it done.
So what were, you say the fourth try, so you tried it a few times before, and what happened?
Yeah, mostly altitude sickness. I tried to go up too fast. I didn't have a real good plan, and I thought every year I would improve on the plan, but I'm like a kid in a candy store when I get to a mountain or a mountain range. I see it, and I just want to get up there. So I didn't acclimatize well enough any of the times. So great trip, so.
Mm-hmm. And then on the fourth time, now did you have help with you, or were you by yourself, or did you have other people along?
Well, I had
along,
a crew with me. Other people came along, but nobody really helped me. They know me better than that, and so they let me do my thing, and that was fine. So they came up with me, and there's a gentleman who was a copy editor for the San Jose Mercury News, and he was writing a story about it, and he came up, and the other two were our best buddies from Bishop, a couple who lives in Bishop and takes day hikes up above 12,000 feet from their home. And who else came? A Canadian journalist who's also a gym teacher, and he was looking into how I train and things and just observing me. And so it worked out very well. It was good to have people to talk to on the way up, quite honestly. But it was not, they knew that they didn't need to help me out if I needed assistance. They did help me with things like carrying my pack up a certain way.
Right. And are you at the time, and are you now? Do you take medication for your diabetes?
I have an insulin pump, so it helps me tremendously to keep things pointed in the right direction. Instead of like taking a shot in the morning meal and one at lunch, and I can eat snacks and things and dial up the amount of insulin I need to offset the carbs in those snacks. And so I get to cheat now and then now at my age. I finally get to have an apple fritter once in a while because I know that means
all right,
three extra units for me. So it's nice. The pump's been a real amazing piece of equipment.
Wow. And they keep perfecting it, I'd imagine.
Yeah, there's different. I'm about ready for a new one, and this one's 5 or 6 years old. It's proven almost indestructible, and I've taken it over their recommended elevation of 10,000 feet. I let them know that, yeah, they do work over 10,000 feet. So it's, it's kind of nice to let them know that.
And also to the listeners, you're also on the currently on the Livermore Town Council, City Council. Is that right?
Uh-huh. City Council, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, and do you have a regular business, too, or a business?
No, not anymore. You know, I was in the financial world, in the banking world, and we got laid off in 2009, and another one after that, they laid us off, too, at a credit union. So since then, you get to a certain age, and being in a wheelchair, and you roll into an interview, and you don't get really taken as seriously as you might think you should be. But
isn't that amazing how we
A little gray hair in a wheelchair makes it look like the wheels go round.
the wheels
what do we
go
have
round.
What do we have to change in the office to accommodate you? And it's usually they'll never ask that because they can't. So they just presume that I'm going to want to make all kinds of changes, which I don't ever have to do. And no worries. I get to write more and make films, so it works out well.
And the film Four Wheel Bob, where that's been at different film festivals. Is it where is it going to be playing in the next 6 months or so?
Well, October 3rd, it's going to be at the New Parkway Theater in Oakland. And then there's a film festival at UC Santa Cruz probably the week after that. Not sure of the right date right now, but we will also have one at the at Stanford, the United Nations Film Festival, and we'll be at Stanford University. So I'll be there for all three of those shows.
When will the Stanford one be?
You know, it's in October. I want to say the last weekend of October, but I'm not sure now. It's on the Four Wheel Bob film site. So if you go to the Four Wheel Bob film site to watch the trailer, perhaps, there are also ways to find out the schedule where it's going to be.
And are you going to be at all of them?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, and we'll probably have a showing at the Abilities Expo in San Mateo at the end of next month, the last weekend of the month, which is a great show for it's people with new wheelchairs and wheelchair designs and accessibility features or things you may be able to use that they've never had before. It's a great place to see the up-and-coming entrepreneurs in the accessibility businesses bring us something new every year. So we're going to show the film over there too.
You know, what I'm really curious about is your inner process of you're this avid hiker and you get this diagnosis and you go from that to this determined person. And what was that process for you? The diagnosis, you kept having these broken bones. I mean, what went on with you internally? I think that could be like a real learning tool for a lot of our listeners in terms of that.
Well, that's a great
That inner strength.
That's a great question, and I get it a lot. And I think it has to do with a real tight family where I had a lot of support from my wife, my parents, my brothers, sisters. Nobody ever told me of that bunch, and most of my friends who know me, not to keep pushing things, not to keep testing limits. When I told them if I wanted to go backpacking and I wasn't feeling particularly well, nobody sat me down and said, you know, you probably should wait on this. You know, wait till you are stronger or you feel better. But you have to find a way to set a benchmark for yourself. And that's what I did. And as I got stronger, I found out I could manage my blood sugar better by exercising more, getting out and putting in more miles all the time. And eating better, of course, always helps. That's a great thing to do. But just having positive people around you, just keeping in touch with people who think as you do, that this is something, you know, it's almost unlimited what you can find out there if you choose to seek it and choose to do what you need to do to get it done. So for me, that was going to the gym a lot, lifting a lot of weights. It was getting out and getting lots of mileage in. There were a few things like that, but mostly, you know, this is going to sound odd coupled with all that, but it was maps. I have trail maps of the Sierras from 20 years ago, and sometimes if I was in a hospital bed or something getting over some surgery on a broken situation, I'd just bring in some of my maps of Tuolumne Meadows up in Yosemite or some of the passes, Bishop Pass and Kearsarge Pass in the Sierras. And I looked at the maps, and everything looks great on a flat piece of paper. You don't see all the rocks or anything like that. So all I did was convince myself that, geez, I've got to get out there. There's got to be something I can do out there. Paper is great because it doesn't show the topography. And it works out very well. You can't tell that you're going to be, every 20 feet, there's going to be an 18-inch step-up rock in the way. And as you approach those, you find ways to keep from turning back. You get out of the chair, you lift the chair over the obstacle, you get back in the chair, and you keep going. And
now, when you got out of the chair, you could stand up, or how did that go?
No, it was more or less I'd lean on a rock next to the trail, or I'd lean on a piece of trail next to that rock, you know, if it's. And so I couldn't really stand up and lift at the same time because that might pop anything at any time. So I would sit down and then lift everything over and keep going once I climbed back in. I learned to mount and dismount in the chair from ground level pretty easily, and that's all in building up my upper body. So I could take the front two frame rails, not to get too technical, but just grab them both and push up and lift myself back into the seat. So it's amazing how many people who saw me do that couldn't believe I could do that. So it's, I keep myself pretty lean, so I'm not real heavy to lift around, but I do stay really strong.
I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Bob Coomber is my guest. They call him Four-Wheel Bob. He hiked one of the highest peaks in the Sierra Nevadas, over 14,000 feet. And he's a real inspiration. And he's also a motivational speaker. So when you give talks to groups, what kind of groups do you talk to?
It just depends. They go anywhere from corporate groups, from people who really – usually they ask me to say 10 hours worth of good things if there's some kind of a management change or a business change, like layoffs or something coming up. They want to give them a positive image of what can be done. And I've been in some very uncomfortable situations where they've not told the employees at the time about these things, and I didn't know – completely, so I never let it slip. But it was just tough to know that afterwards that that's what was going to happen. But I just try and give them positive direction that if they really want to, you know, keep moving no matter what happens, there's ways to do that. You know, you've got a good job, you know how to do it. There are other jobs at other businesses, but I tried to concentrate on just how to stay positive through some real nasty situations and some of my experiences.
So if you had a core message, yeah, if you had like a core message when you give these, again, since this is the Inspire Possibility Show, I'm really curious about what is your core message? What I've noticed too, a lot of amazing, powerful people that have been on my show have always, at some point in their life, had a struggle. And I'm almost convinced without that struggle, they wouldn't have become who they are today. And I'm wondering if that's true for you, and what is that core message when you talk to these groups?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. There's, you know, going from walking one day and backpacking and doing all these things as a free spirit in the woods, and all of a sudden everything changes. And when you get to those forks in the road, you have to be able to choose which direction you're going to go. It's very easy to turn around and go home and sulk or feel bad, or you can just choose the fork that says if you keep pushing this wheelchair, you're going to get to where you're going. And that's kind of what I did.
So keep going forward. Is that your message? Is that your core message?
As long as you keep pushing forward, you're going to keep moving. You're going to get to where you need to go. And
right.
It's for me, it's a very personal relationship with trails and things. It's kind of fun.
And, you know, I would think also with the challenges along the way, they kind of lead to greatness. I don't think you can really achieve that greatness, that mastery, unless you're willing to go for the challenges. I mean, if you kind of stay in your comfort zone, you're just gonna lead a mediocre life. And
you won't accomplish things, yeah.
So and for you, I imagine. I mean, and so many people out there, they don't really go for it. They don't really get out of their comfort zone. They're kind of stuck. And here you are. You had really, in a way, no choice. I mean, unless you, in terms of, because I also have a sense that when I say no choice, that compulsion to go forward was something that you just had to do.
Yes, essentially. And it got me into a kind of activism locally, too, that all the park districts, and I have been in touch, this is like 25 years ago, and just to say, what if I do want to go out on a rough dirt trail that isn't ADA accessible? Why aren't you able to let me access that? They used to have barriers at the start of, you know, at a trailhead, where at the time I wasn't experienced enough in my wheelchair to be able to push over these two logs that they would put there blocking a trail entrance. So I went to the district and started working with them, next thing I know, I'm on a park district advisory board. And after that, I ran for office to be a park district director. And the city council has followed that, too, because I am kind of I have kind of an activist mentality. Let's see what we can do. I don't want everything paved, but I do want to be able to get in there to see if I can even try it. And that's all I want.
You know, it's interesting. A few years ago, I was at a retreat, and they more or less suggested we do like a vision board. And I had never really had done one before, but we just started looking at magazines and cutting out images that we liked, and then cutting the edges with different types of scissors, so you started to have a kind of a interesting effect. And I'm looking at it right now, and there's one quote I have that is so in tune. I mean, most of them all are in tune with your message, but the one that I'm thinking of is, "Climbing is akin to love. It's hard to explain. We endure pain for the joy that comes with discovering ourselves and the planet." And that was by Corey Richards. And I just thought,
I like that.
You know, your whole thing about climbing is so in tune. And then there's another quote about climbing: the higher we climb, the more we overcome. And I like those. There's another one: the compulsion to see what lies beyond that far ridge, or that ocean, or this planet, is a defining part of human identity and success. So it sounds like you're right in tune with these other people.
Well, that last one sums me up perfectly, because that's always been a thing with me. What's over the next hill? My parents brought us up with that. We'd go into the regional park system there, and they'd have us climbing up a hill and just urging us on at 5 years old, 6 years old, because, well, let's see what's up there. What's this? It was a big mystery. Then each time we did it, it was a great mystery, and that stuck with me all these years, that when I see a hilltop or a ridge top, I want to get up there and just see what the view's like.
Mm-hmm. So what would be your, like, do you have a famous quotation that you like, that inspires you?
Well, I don't have any one, you know, that's just it. I wish I did. I just, I think this Einstein one that I use a lot, with every day, I'm just trying to look it up to get it right, but with every difficulty comes opportunity. Is that the one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the middle of every difficulty lies opportunity, and that was from Albert Einstein. And that's just it. You know, if you challenge yourself enough, and you have the situation where sometimes you need to challenge yourself just to keep up with your day-to-day existence. You know, you will find things, doors will be open to you that you never knew were there to begin with, and probably weren't there when you were walking. So it's my favorite one that I use fairly frequently.
So say that, or you want to repeat that?
In the middle of every opportunity, in the middle of every difficulty, lies opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an Albert Einstein. So.
You know, it's amazing how much wisdom he had. I mean, I've seen so many. I mean, you think of him as a genius, but in motivational, inspirational circles, you see so many quotes by him. It's just amazing.
How inspirational he is. Absolutely. You know, and we live in a city here. Livermore has got a couple of national laboratories here in town, so you meet a lot of people that. He was a mentor, or had been a mentor. They're retired now, but these people either met him or worked with some of his disciples, and just you get to hear how fascinating he was. And he, on so many subjects, he wasn't a physics only guy. He really had a good take on everything.
So what's your next challenge? What's up for you?
Well, I think the first thing is I'm going to go up to Kearsarge Pass again, and it's going to have to wait till next year because it pretty much stayed snowed in most of the summer. and I need a late summer week or two to do this, but I want to go from the east side of the Sierras to the west. I got a few miles in on this one before my hands got blistered up, and I didn't want to risk infection, as a couple of the blisters had popped and were starting to look pretty ugly at the time, you know, third or fourth day out. So we decided to come down. I need to get a plan together for getting over a boulder field that we ran into that was very difficult. But it's not impossible. We just need to find a different take on it and how to get around it.
So, right. And I noticed on your website there was talk of you hiking Mount Kilimanjaro. Is that on the table?
Yes. You know, it could be. It's going to take a lot to get it going. At the time we were considering that, we had a choice to take in two teenage kids who needed a home. And we did that instead. And we tried to give them some examples and some ways to become leaders or really take care of themselves so they could grow into adults. You know, and at 14, they took on the challenge and changed their way of looking at things because they hadn't had much direction before that. But we decided that was probably a better use of our money at the time. And I believe there are probably entities who could support me to go over that way, and I just haven't explored many of them yet. I'm too busy reading 1,500-page city council packets.
That's labor-intensive, huh?
Oh, absolutely. But there is an 18,000-footer Mount Orizaba in Mexico that is closer, probably cheaper. We'll find out.
Uh-huh.
But I'm looking into that right now to see if I can do that. From what I've seen, I'm convinced that I can do it. I just have to pick the right time. I have to wait till next August or something. We'll see how it goes.
Uh-huh. So that could be next for you, huh?
Yeah, could be next year. Yeah, absolutely. If it stayed snow-free, I could do it over the winter, quite honestly. But I have to get in better shape right now. I've been busy either running for office or working at City Hall, and it's tough to get to the gym some days. But I've just started again a couple weeks ago, and I've been pretty consistent with those efforts. So it's paying off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't lose it when you get older, and you don't lose it until you stop.
Right, you got to keep at it.
Got to keep at it. So.
Well, you definitely, Bob, are a real inspiration. I mean, it's amazing all you've done, and I think just telling your story is an inspiration to many people, because I think people, they have so many reasons that they can't do things. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm not good enough, I'm not this, I'm not that, and you just kind of blew that out of the water.
Well, I don't like saying no to things, at least until I try them, and I suggest that for anybody. It's real easy to read a book by somebody who's made their living climbing through the mountains and doing 20-mile days at 10,000 feet or above, and, you know, it makes it seem like you really can't do anything. I mean, you compare yourself, and the trick is not to compare yourself. You're an individual entity, and you can't compare yourself to anybody else's success. Your success will be so much different than theirs. No matter, you know, you could try to mimic them exactly, and it won't come off. You've got to make it your own. As we used to say in the hiking business, hike your own hike. You've got to go out there and do whatever it is that makes you succeed in what you're trying to do.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you for being who you are. I mean, you're such an amazing human being. You have such a great story that I think it's important for people to hear your story, because they'll hear it and they'll start to reevaluate their life and start to think, you know, I can do that. Maybe not hike with you, but other things in their life that are something that is in their horizon, something they've thought about doing, but they've just haven't gone for it because they had the fear of failing. I think that's a lot of it. People don't want to try things because they're afraid they're going to fail. And so you've been a real inspiration. Thank you for sharing this half hour with me. It goes quick, and I wish you Luck, I want to hear about your story. I want to see that film, Four Wheel Bob. I'm going to be away in October, but hopefully in November, December, or even early next year, I can see it. And please keep me posted.
Okay,
and I want to remind our listeners that you've been listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Today's guest is Bob Coomer. People call him Four Wheel Bob. Every week we have some amazing people that inspire us to kind of, they're trendsetters, and hopefully next week you listen to another show of the Inspire Possibility Show. And in the meantime, I want to say to you, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.